You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. The San Antonio Spurs avoided getting trounced by the Western Conference leading Houston Rockets. Many thought that the Spurs would be on the losing side of this contest. Nevertheless, the Spurs got the 183 win over Houston. I know. Wow. I did not see that coming. It was pretty much not even a contest for most of the game, as the Spurs led as many as 20 points versus Houston. Now, there's so many aspects of this game and so many things that we could talk about. The Spurs 50-win season streak, that is still alive. It's not dead yet. They got to win out. That's the only way they're going to keep that going. And they still got a tough road to hoe ahead of them. They were able to avoid getting swept by Houston. They go 1-3 versus the Rockets this season. They won 9 straight wins at home, still flexing their home court muscle. And the Spurs just thoroughly outgunned, outmanned the Rockets, and they did it all with their defense. We're going to talk about that on a lot more. I am also going to be joined by Tyler Clerken of News 4 San Antonio Spurs Zone and Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast, introducing to them in a few minutes. But as far as yesterday's game is concerned, pick a category, the Spurs pretty much dominated. In the paint, Spurs beat Houston 49-32. On the boards, Spurs out-rebounded the Rockets 48-42. Defense, I talked about it right now. This Spurs held the Rockets to 0-for shooting from the three-point line in the first quarter and just held them to 17 points in the final frame. My goodness, the Spurs did it all. They got some production, shockingly. I know I'm just joking here. LaMarcus Aldridge led the way. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. Rudy Gay stepped up in a big way. Pretty much everybody who wore silver and black versus Houston did what they had to do to get the win for the team, and it showed. So, yeah. So, once again, Spurs 100, Rockets 83. The Spurs are now 45-32 on the season. And I think every hour, every second, the West playoff standings change. So I'm not even going to get into that right now. We'll know when we get a clearer picture of how the West is going to shake out. But as mentioned, I am joined by Joe Garcia and Tyler Clerken. Tyler, Joe, wow, first time here on Locked On Spurs, all three of us together on one show.
Yeah, crazy things are about to happen, man. It's great to be able to have this three-way call. You know, it's trying something new.
Yeah, exactly. And Tyler, try not to go too diva on us today. We know you got demands. We know we had to serve nothing but green M&Ms for you before you decided to come on the show.
You know, I can't help it. It's just the way I am, but I'm here, so that's all that matters, right?
Yep.
It's all that matters. All right, so guys, you know, I pretty much summed up the game for the Locked On Spurs listeners. It's time to get some overall thoughts before we go into some specifics. I'll start off with you, Tyler. Tyler, what were your overall thoughts about this win for the San Antonio Spurs?
I mean, my overall thoughts are kind of, I would assume, the same as the majority of Spurs fans. I was just very shocked. Because this morning, whenever I woke up, or yesterday morning, sorry, I woke up to a DM from you reminding me about the Shine post for the game. And we talked about how it was going to be a bloodbath. And even in my article of the week ahead that I wrote last week, I said that the Spurs had no chance of winning this game. In my mind, I was just completely 100% sold on the fact that they were not coming out of that game with a win. The fact that they were able to do it, I was just blown away. I mean, I feel like we saw something from the Spurs that we may not have really seen much this season, and it was just really cool to watch. So I'm really happy about it, but, I mean, there's still games to be played, so I'm not just going to sit here and think about it as much. I'm trying to focus on the next game at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to follow that up with some quotes from Pau Gasol and his thoughts about the win. I like what Pau said. More on that later. Joe, your overall thoughts about this Spurs win.
It was a pleasant surprise. I had given the Spurs no chance to win this game, as you know, I'm sure everybody else did pretty much the same thing. But to see them win the game in the convincing fashion that they did, I think it sent a big statement, not only to other teams in the NBA, and of course, specifically here in the Western Conference, but it actually sent a message to everybody else. And I'm saying, especially to Kawhi Leonard, because what it said is, we can win without you. Yes, we're better with you, but we can win and play a tough team and come out with a victory in convincing fashion without you. We're better with you, but you know, since he's not going to be here pretty much for the rest of the this go around, I mean, this sends a big message to everyone. I think that they figure some things out.
Yeah. You know, my overall thoughts is simply this. It's a good start. I know. I'm not trying to be, you know, the wet blanket on the party. For me, it's just a good start. And what I mean by that is, good. You beat the Thunder. You beat the Rockets. Bravo. But you got to keep this going. You cannot rest on your laurels, Spurs. They still got a lot of heavy duty games ahead of their schedule. And I think this is a good start for them in the sense of if they're going to make that playoff push, and if even they get into the postseason, that's still not set in stone. If this is their start to that goal, I like what I see. I got to see more. This whole season, Joe, Tyler, you know this. We've seen the Spurs rattle off 4 wins in a row. Then they drop games where we're just scratching our heads saying, how in the hell did they lose that game when they were up big? Recall Lakers, recall the Bucks losses this season. So for me, it was just a good start. I like what I'm seeing, but let's keep it consistent because they got a couple of tough games ahead of them before, or even if the playoff starts for the silver and black. All right. So let's go ahead and dive into our takeaways. And I'm going to kick things off with Tyler. Tyler, what was your biggest takeaway of the win?
My biggest takeaway was just kind of reassuring to see that they can do it. You know, I feel like this entire season has been just such a struggle, whether it be the drama with Kawhi Leonard or even their offensive struggles, which kind of connects back to Kawhi. But I mean, there's just been so many problems that have been going on within the Spurs organization and the Spurs team that the fact that they can come out here and pick up these wins against teams like the Thunder and especially Houston. I mean, they were without Chris Paul, but that doesn't mean they're still not a great team. They still have James Harden, who is to many leading the MVP race for this season. And the fact that they were able to come out there and pick up the win, that's huge. I feel like that speaks to me more than anything that they could have done in the last week. I mean, whenever I wrote up that article about the week ahead, this was the one game that I was just, like I said earlier, had no chance of them winning. And the fact that they were able to come out here and do it, especially in front of their home crowd, who the Spurs have never really been in this position before where they're kind of on the fence of even making the playoffs. So for Spurs fans, it's got to be, they're probably just as worried as the actual team themselves.
You know what, Joe, but you know, when I'm listening to what Tyler had to say, let's be honest. Would this game be a lot different if Chris Paul was playing? Or you think that maybe, just maybe, the Spurs still would have won it?
Based on what I saw out of the Spurs today, I think the Spurs still would have won it, but they would have won it by a much closer margin than what the final score was. What I saw, or my takeaway that I saw out of the game today, was, or should I say against the Rockets game, was the Spurs are playing great defense. And when when they play that type of defense, what really happens is that they can break down teams with surgical precision, specifically in their mental game. And that's what happens with these upper echelon teams like the Golden State Warriors, for example, or even the Houston Rockets. If you can get under their skin and bother them and get in their heads, it creates what I call a snowball effect. And what happens is that when things start getting really tough for your starters, or especially your superstars, it just kind of like, it's a snowball effect. It trickles down to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, bad things happen to the tune of the Spurs getting 8 blocks in this game, which was huge. And then I look at James Harden's box. He had 5 turnovers on this game, which means that the Spurs not only kept him in check, but they were being pesky, like a little gnat, like an annoying fly. And that's what I think really bothered not only James Harden, but the whole team, is that this stifling defense, it really got to them, you know, and the Spurs, when they play like this, they can beat anybody.
You're talking about defense, Joe. Popovich spoke about the Spurs defense, not only in this game, but of late. And he had to say, quote, "I think the defense was impressive tonight. And at this point in the season, all of us in the West are trying to win a game and keep position. So every win is important." End quote. Yeah, you know, he's loving the defense. You're talking about the defense of the Spurs of late. I mean, they've just been clamping down. You look at their last few wins. They held Oklahoma City to 99 points. We saw what they did against Houston. I mean, 83 points against a high-octane offense that the Houston Rockets are. So, you know, there's a lot of good things to see out of this team on the defensive end. And let's face it, Monta Ginobili even said it best. In the loss against Washington, where he said that this Spurs team is not the most talented in the league. And he's right. We know that. But he's also stressed they have to get it done on the defensive end. And I think that's where their bread and butter is, gentlemen. Rudy Gay, after the win versus the Houston Rockets, he talked about defense. And he said, quote, "We've got to play defense and try to score with them," them being Houston. And Coach Popovich said that in practice and has been saying it all week. This Spurs team is going back to their roots, guys. Back to that hard nose, in your face defense, and I like what I'm seeing, Tyler.
Yeah, I wanted to actually point out, you guys are discussing the highlights of their defense, and they had 8 blocks, 8 steals. But another thing that I feel like is such an underrated stat is they only had 8 turnovers this game, and I feel like in the earlier this season. Jeff and I, whenever we do these shows, we talk about they're coughing the ball up too much. They're turning the ball over way too many times. And for them to come out here on a team against a team like the Rockets, who are just these offensive powerhouse teams, and only be able to lose the ball 8 times, because let's face it, they're still going to have turnovers, so they're not going to have a perfect game. For them to come out here and only have 8 turnovers and kind of limit them from getting the ball more than they should, that's huge. And the fact that they had just as many steals and just as many blocks as turnovers, is that's a huge stat in my eyes anyway, moving forward.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I got to agree with you. I think it would have been a different tune if Chris Paul was playing. You know, maybe DeJounte Murray doesn't get to the bucket as much, or maybe he gets into some foul trouble trying to defend CP3. And of course, let's face it, Chris Paul is their floor general. He gets their offense going. James Harden has moved away from that position. He played it heavily last year, but you know, he's kind of relinquished that to Chris Paul. Eric Gordon is really not a point guard. And not to take away anything from the Spurs win, because I think in this game, because we know we're going to hear this sooner or later, guys, about this Houston Spurs win. Houston lost the game. It wasn't what the Spurs did. It was Houston. Let's face it, this was a team win, guys. This Spurs team came out and took care of business. This Houston team still on paper is better than the Spurs on paper. Nevertheless, the Spurs, that system, that defense shined bright versus Houston. Joe, one thing that Tyler brought up right now and I thought was very interesting is the turnovers. You've been really harping on that as well. What have you been seeing from the Spurs on that front?
Well, excuse me. Well, what I've seen from them, you know, is that they still have tendencies to revert back to making bad decisions. But in this, you know, little mini win streak that they have going on, they've been cleaning some things up. And I think they're doing this at the right time. You know, earlier in the season, like Tyler had hinted at, they were making bad decisions with the ball. You know, they're trying to pass the ball between two defenders and calling Patty Mills out for doing that. I saw that a lot. Even Danny Green at times, you know, even Manu Ginobili was guilty of it as well. You've seen Tony Parker do it, you know, Paul Gasol, LaMarcus. I mean, nobody was, you know, not doing this. But lately, they've been cleaning those things up, and I think they realized that at times the Spurs are their own worst enemy. You know, that there's a lot of things that they can work on, and if they work on those small fundamental aspects of the game, that it opens the game up a lot more for them, because like, you know, we were saying in the beginning of the year, they just, you know, they could have won some games that they lost, and it all boiled down to basic fundamentals and playing sound basketball. And I like what I'm seeing out of them right now. It looks like they're figuring it out. They're starting to all gel together. And this is dangerous for everybody else in the NBA because the Spurs realize something. Defense is their strong point or their strong suit right now. So if they can continue to do this and clean up the other little, you know, things like keep the turnovers low, I like their chances against, you know, any team. And I dare say that they even have a good chance of winning 50 games. I really think that if they continue to play like this, they're going to, you know, end the season on a win streak. That, I mean, that's, oh, I don't know. Wow.
I don't know about that, Joe. And not only, I want them to hit 50 wins. Don't get me wrong. I want that streak to keep alive, go 19 season. But they're going to go on the road, and the road has been their nemesis this season. I mean, they are just completely atrocious away from the AT&T Center. And then you add the fact that they got a back-to-back on the road in L.A. versus the Clippers, who, you know, yeah, you know, they're there. But, you know, they presented problems for the Spurs in the past. And then you got the Lakers team that pretty much shocked them in the AT&T Center recently. So I still holding on to the thought that the Spurs are not going to reach 50, and I think that's likely to happen. But, you know, guys, I always got to be the wet blanket on this show for Spurs listeners. But nevertheless, you know, you're talking about defense, Joe. The Spurs heading into the Rockets game, they were number one in opponent points per game, number five in the league in opponent three-point field goal percentage. They rank fourth in the NBA in block shots. Needless to say, defense is where they are getting it done. You know, we'll talk more about the game before I go into my takeaway from the Spurs victory. Guys, I like that I saw balanced scoring from pretty much everybody who got time, even down from Tony Parker, who just scored, you know, what 4 points, or a Pau Gasol, who just scored 2 points. Nevertheless, everybody chipped in with something. Yeah, everybody knocks Pau Gasol. You know, he's a 7-footer. What's he doing scoring 2 points? But he had 8 rebounds versus the Rockets, and he had a blocked shot. You look at Tony Parker, 4 points in 13 minutes, but he had 3 assists, even up to guys like Rudy Gay. I mean, seriously, I think maybe we should take a little time to talk about Rudy Gay. 21 bench points, perhaps one of his best games as a Spur. 3 rebounds. He had a block, 2 steals, 9 for 13 shooting. Tyler, your thoughts on Rudy Gay?
I mean, this is one of those games that I was expecting from him all year. You know, whenever the Spurs announced that they were actually going to be signing him, I thought that was a great move because of how he's played in the past. And I feel like coming off of that Achilles injury, he was going to be super hungry and just ready to come out and play and compete. And we've seen him play okay. We've also seen him play really bad, you know. And then be like, Rudy's just one of those players that you never know what you're going to get. And then him coming off the bench and having a game like this, that can do wonders for your confidence. And what that tells me is that going into these last, what is it, 5 games to try to keep the streak alive and try to make the playoffs, I feel like he's going to be confident. And he's going to be coming out there and doing things that we might not have seen him play do a few months ago, you know. Maybe try to take people off the dribble more. I feel like he just doesn't really have that great of a jump shot, but, I mean, he can hit it. So if the team's going to give him that space, then he can shoot the jump shot. But if they're going to try to get up on guard him, then I want to see him try to take people off the dribble. But what it comes down to is that confidence. Nobody on the floor in any sport, for that matter, is going to play well if they're not confident in their abilities. And, I mean, this guy, we've seen him do great things in his career. And I've seen this game right here is just a perfect example of seeing him play really well. And if he can come out there and score, I don't even really want 20 points a game. I'm saying, like, maybe 15 to 20 a game. I feel like that'd do wonders for the Spurs because that their offense is one thing that has been lacking all season. So if we can see him come out here and just produce points like that, I feel like the Spurs are going to be in great shape.
Joe, is it just me or is Rudy playing with some sort of chip on his shoulder? Of late, I mean, he is taking it to the rim, attacking it, throwing down some ferocious dunks of late. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I think maybe Manu Ginobili introduced him to the joys of Grandpa Juice, man. he's sharing his secret formula, but whatever the, you know, thing that Rudy Gay has done to flip this switch, I like it. You know, he's been able to come into his own right now, like Tyler was hinting at, you know, and even you, he's confident right now. And it's showing in his game. So he's not feeling any lingering effects from his injuries, you know, that heel bursitis that kept him out for a number of games. He looks like he's out there and he got his, you know, his basketball form back. And that's great to see, especially right now when we're down a man and Kawhi Leonard, and we have somebody like Rudy Gay stepping up and putting in some big time minutes. And not only that, but production off the bench, because let's be honest, it can't always be up to Manu Ginobili to save the Spurs. You know, he's already 40 years old, and Manu Ginobili plays great games, but he can't do it consistently. The body just don't work that way no more. He needs at least a game to rest, or two games to rest, and he'll have another 20-plus point game or a really good performance. But, you know, when Rudy Gay can play like this, I mean, that's amazing, you know? And I just like the fact that we're seeing this out of him right now at the right time. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Rudy Gay.
Yeah, he's been playing very well of late, especially versus the Rockets. But what I like about what he had to say following the win versus Houston was this. When asked about the Spurs and why he chose San Antonio, he said, quote, "That's why I came here. I had to guarantee myself a playoff spot." He is thinking playoffs. And Joe, I'm going to let you talk about this before I go into my takeaway. He's talking playoffs. You think Spurs fans already started thinking playoffs, or you still got a light of fire under them, Joe, and say, come on, guys, you know, keep the faith?
No, I mean, Spurs fans should, you know, always be looking towards the playoffs. Your team is sitting at the fourth seed right now. A week ago, they were about, what, the sixth or seventh seed? And yep. Even going further than back, you know, they were the ninth seed. They were on the outside looking in. What they've been able to do over the course of the last 2 weeks is nothing short of amazing. They're sitting at the fourth seed, and the season is coming to a close really quick here. And if the Spurs can somehow just clinch that fourth seed, that's something to get really excited about. And if you look at the seeding, this is where I'm saying this is if the Spurs are the fourth seed, they would start the playoffs against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Spurs,
oh my goodness,
would let everybody else beat up each other. I mean, come on, guys, how can you not get excited about that?
Exactly. You know, Tyler, should we be singing the praises right now of LaMarcus Aldridge once again? 23 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, I like 3 block shots. And he had some pretty, you know, in-your-face power blocks on James Harden a few times. He goes 11 for 19. Is this just at the point now this season where this is just expected out of LaMarcus? Or are you still in amazement of what he's doing this season?
At this point, I'm just kind of... It's another day in the office for him. He's done it so many times, and he's literally carried this Spurs team this entire season. So for him to not have a – let's say that he went into this game and didn't have a game like any other game, then I'd be more surprised than I am that he had a great game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like – he's playing so well that at this point it's just so expected. And if he doesn't, then I'm just going to be like, oh, wow, LaMarcus kind of let us down. And I feel like the score would show too, because he has been our bread and butter this whole season. And for him to come out here, and what really stands out to me every night, I feel like he just shoots so well from the field. We've seen him have some games where he's kind of, but he's still putting up points. And the thing is, if he can come out there and hit these shots consistently, and whether it be a jump shot, dunk, anything, you know, just any way to score the basketball, that's just going to take the Spurs to even a higher level, because they're going to be able to make the most out of each possession. And if LaMarcus is out there leading the charge like that and setting by example, then I feel like other Spurs are going to follow, especially these young guys. And I feel like the Spurs have been relying on these young guys so much this season that if any way they can learn from him, then I feel like it's going to be a great thing.
No, it definitely is a great thing. And one thing that was very great in the win versus the Rockets, the Spurs had 5 players in double figures. I like seeing that. You got 12 points out of Danny Green, 23 out of LaMarcus Aldridge. DeJounte Murray chipped in with 13. We mentioned Rudy Gay's 21 points. And Patty Mills chipped in with 14 points, 3 for 6 from the three-point line, shot 56% from the field, which leads me to my takeaway is that Patty Mills has been playing very well of late. I think this has been going under the radar of Spurs fans, who pretty much just like to poke fun of him and use him as a big whipping boy. If you look at what Patty Mills has been doing in the last few games for San Antonio, it's been nothing but impressive. We know what he did versus the Rockets, you know, double digit scoring, you know, pretty much what he did in the fourth quarter, hitting clutch shots, bringing that energy to the court. He was fired up. He was pumped. The crowd was in it. He hit a couple of back-to-back three-point shots, or, you know, at least two consecutive three-point shots. And I think he deserves a good pat on the back. Look, his teammates are starting to recognize, and they always have, but they're being more vocal about what Patty Mills has been doing. Look, Patty Mills coined the whole juice, grandpa juice thing for Manu Ginobili, but in the Spurs' recent win over the Thunder, I believe, Manu Ginobili gave him credit back, and he said that Patty is the one that brings the juice from time to time, that he's always positive. You look at what he's been doing prior to the Houston win, in that before the Houston Spurs game, going back five games, he's been averaging 12.2 points per game. He had a 25-point outburst versus the Jazz. He had 11-point outburst versus the Wizards, and he's been averaging 3.2 assists and 1.4 steals prior to the Houston win. That's a sizable increase from his season averages of 9.8 points per game and 0.6 steals. I think this guy deserves a little bit of a tip of the hat, gentlemen. He proved it once again, just how big of an X factor he could be in this day and age of the NBA, where three-point shooting is a premium, perimeter play is a premium. And if he could just bring that spark and another weapon to Spurs opponents, whether it be in the postseason or to finish out the regular season, have to contend with, I'll take it at this point. Joe, I want your reaction.
Well, I love Patty Mills, man. He's been playing good as of late, you know, and I was one of the biggest guys who was giving him, you know, some flack about his game earlier in the season. But I still have one thing I'd like to interject with. You know, there's still some aspects of Patty Mills' game that I think he needs to work on in the offseason. So I'd rather see him work more on his game instead of working on being a world traveler. You know, at times when you're watching his Instagram feed, the dude gets around. You know, he likes to travel. He likes to have a great time, which is, you know, anybody's entitled to that. But when you're getting paid, you know, in the to the tune of $50 million to get some production out of you, I mean, I would like to see it more consistently. You know, I like what I'm seeing right now, and that's, a plus to take away from all this that I'm saying. But I would have liked to see it more in the beginning of the year, because that could have translated into more wins for the Spurs versus where they find themselves right now, you know, and that's basically what we get with Patty Mills. It's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. Some games you love him, some games you hate him, and you really don't know what to do with him. You know, I mean, you just gotta love Patty Mills.
I think there's more Dr. Jekyll right now, or whatever it is, or whatever the good guy side. We'll use something more relatable for me. I think he's Harvey Dent right now and not Two-Face right now.
Okay.
Because if you look at the last three games, he scored in double figures. Versus Washington, 11 points. Versus OKC, 14 points. And, of course, versus the Rockets in a win, he pumped in, I believe, 14 points. So he's finding his stride a little bit. And if you look at what he's been doing, at least from beyond the arc, again, at Washington, 3-for-6, versus OKC, 3-for-9, and then against the Rockets, 3-for-6. So he's finding a little bit of a heat streak right now, and I hope he keeps it going. Yes, I know, you know, he had his ups and downs, Joe, as you brought up, and, you know, that maybe he played more up than down, have some more wins on the Spurs win side. But at this juncture of the NBA season and for the Spurs fighting for their playoff lives, I'll take it. And if Patty Mills is going to be playing this week to finish out the regular season, so be it. I can forgive him for almost the entire season. But if he can help secure them a playoff spot, Patty Mills is back on my good side. Tyler?
My thing about Patty is, like, I'm a fan of him, and I love his game, and I love his energy that he brings to the table, but he does a lot of things that I don't like, and I feel like at times he just kind of gets a little too hectic. And I feel like he tries to, him and DeJounte, for example, they kind of just try to be way too, they try to do too much. And I feel like some of the times that it leads to turnovers or just bad plays in general. I mean, we talked about earlier how he was the kind of one to blame for trying to pass in between two players. And I feel like that's just a thing that he's kind of, he's let off right now, you know, he's kind of coming back into it. And I feel like the major reason for him maybe trying to do just a little too much could be the fact that Tony Parker's kind of starting to take that back seat. And I feel like Patty's like, okay, well, since Tony's going backwards rather than forwards, it's time for me to step up and time for me to take over that full role and try to be this great point guard and help my team, especially with Kawhi out. And just like, there's a lot of stuff going through his head. And I get that. That's a huge role change compared to what he's used to. Like, back whenever everybody was healthy, Tony Parker, everyone was on the floor, he was, I wouldn't say he was useless because he was never, he's never been useless, but he was never the guy that people point fingers at. He was just their backup point guard, and he would just come out there and try to do what he could. And if he had a good game, then people would be like, oh, that's great. But if he had a bad game, no one would really think anything of it. But now that he has all this new responsibility, if he has a bad game, then people are going to start to notice and people are going to point fingers. And I feel like he's kind of getting comfortable in this new role, and it's showing with these past few games. I feel like he's really coming out there and trying to take control of the floor and kind of control the tempo. And I feel like today was just a perfect example of that, because I feel like the Spurs were in control of the whole entire game. And I feel like it starts at the point guard position. Now, I know he has been kind of switching it up between shooting guard and point guard, but DeJounte and Patty together, in my eyes, are both point guards, and they're going to go out there and lead the offense. So if he can come out there and have a great game, then it's going to make DeJounte play even better. And if those two are just playing better, then it's going to make everybody play better. So I'm happy with what Patty's been doing. It's a huge upgrade to what we've seen sometimes this season, because he's had shaky games. And I feel like if they can continue to bring this kind of energy or bring this kind of play, then I feel like the Spurs are going to be in great shape, especially with all the other elements we talked about earlier.
Joe, you do understand what I'm trying to get at, you know, and I understand what you're saying as well, you know, about Mills's play overall this season. But look, Joe, I mean, like I mentioned, at this point of the season, you got to take it. I mean, the Spurs need all hands on. We know we're going into the thought we're going to be like the Spurs. We're going into the last few games knowing that Kawhi's not coming back. We just go with that mentality. And fine, he's not coming back at all in the regular season. I'd be more than happy to take a Patty Mills dropping double figures a few games in a row and upping his season averages. Joe, do you think maybe you're being a little too hypercritical on Patty Mills right now?
No, I don't think so, because I'll put it into something that's very easy to understand. If the game's on the line, let's say 2 seconds left, and you inbound the ball to Patty Mills with the game tied, do you have enough faith in him to hit the game-winning shot if he's wide open?
If you want my answer, I would say yes, I would.
I don't trust him.
Real quick for a second?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if you guys, listeners and you guys included, I'm from Indiana, and I actually went and watched the Spurs play the Pacers. And that last second shot, guess who shot the ball? It was Patty Mills, and guess what happened? He completely airballed it. And Pop drew up one of the best plays I've seen in a long time, got him completely wide open, and he didn't even hit the rim.
So that's a wah-wah-wah-wah. You know, so it's like you got a
very disappointed.
Yeah, you got a guy that you're paying $50 million for, but do you trust him?
Yeah, I do trust him. I do, and maybe I'm going to get a flack for this, but I do trust him with the ball in his hand in the final shot. I do. I mean, he's one of the better 3-point shooters the Spurs have on their season right now. You know, who else are you going to go to for the 3-point shot? Bryn Forbes has been ghost. What happened to him? I thought he was supposed to be the next hot shooter. You know, the Spurs have found a la Gary Neal in the summer league.
I think Bryn Forbes saw the kukui, man. He got scared and hid somewhere.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray, you know, he needs to work on that aspect of his game. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, what, you're going to go to Pau Gasol, who, what, just by numbers, he is the most, what, marksman of the crew from deep. But no, I mean, I don't know where to go to. Yeah, and I think Popovich, knowing that he has that guy on his roster, he's going to turn to him if they need a deep shot. Tyler?
I would not trust him, that shot. I mean, that night that I was in Indianapolis and watch that game, that right there sold me. I mean, until he comes out there and just does something completely crazy like that Manu shot against the Celtics, until then, no, I don't trust him with that shot. I'd rather have LaMarcus or Manu, for that matter, to take it, because I feel like Patty's just been so inconsistent this season, and there's no way I would let him take that shot.
Wow, my God, I must be in the minority then, guys. Seriously. Look, I guess maybe what I'm doing, I'm looking at the now, and at the now, Patty Mills, I like what I see, the confidence in the shooting. He airballed, a three-point shot versus the Pacers, fine. But look what he did against the Rockets. He hit two, back-breaking three-point shots versus Houston to put the game away, and he was pumped. The team fed on that. You saw him going, backpedaling and just shouting to the crowd. You saw the bench go up to him and start smacking him in the head, et cetera, et cetera. And I like what I'm seeing out of Patty Mills right now. And if right now, if the game was on the line and Patty Mills is playing the way he's playing right now, I have full confidence in him. My goodness, guys, really? Yeah. Okay, fine. What is it going to take for y'all to get back on the Patty Mills bandwagon?
He's going to have to hit a clutch shot.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm off of the Patty Mills bandwagon altogether. I think he's a great player, and like I mentioned earlier, but when it comes down to it, and I have all these other players, like, for example, I'd rather have Danny Green, LaMarcus Aldridge, Manu, even Rudy Gay. I'd rather have all of them rather than Patty take that last shot. And until I can see him come out here and kind of redeem himself, because that Pacers game is stuck in my mind. I think it's because I was actually there and witnessed it. So until he does something like that's when I'll hop back on and say, okay, I'll give you the shot. But until then, I am completely off that train.
Woo, tough crowd. Yeah, all the fans of Patty Mills, make sure to give the hate mail to Joe Garcia and to Tyler Clark. Not to me, because I'm defending your guy right now. All right, so I guess final thoughts on this Spurs win versus Houston. I know all of us are probably were big old grin in our faces when we saw the final buzzer go off. But Joe, I'll let you have the final word, and then Tyler, you follow.
Final word, I'm going to call out Spurs fans, because I know a whole bunch of them are walking into the office with their heads held high and they're screaming, go Spurs, go. But my thing is, if you weren't cheering for this team when they were going through their little slide, why are you cheering for them now? There's no in between. You either cheer for the team or you don't. So, you can't have that fair weather fan, and I still have yet to see the city, blanketed in silver and black. Granted, Fiesta is about 2 weeks away, but still, you need to see that Spurs fever hit already. Your team is going to the playoffs, people. Get excited. Show your pride. That's what I'm going to leave you with.
Tyler?
My final thoughts, I agree with Joe, but my final thoughts are, don't live in the now, I guess you could say. Like, yeah, it's a great win, but you got to focus. You have more games to be played. And right now, where my head's at is, take that momentum and shift it to the next one. And if they can keep doing that as the season goes on, then I feel like they can win out. They can keep that streak alive. I know we keep bringing it up, but it's a big deal. And I thought the streak was ending today.
Yeah, so did I.
So I am pumped that it didn't end today, and I am going to hope that they can keep it going. So if they're able to keep this momentum going, play great defense, score some shots, have players step up like Rudy Gay did today, then I feel like the Spurs are in great shape and they can make something happen. And then moving on towards the playoffs, I feel like they're going to be able to make some noise, especially if they get that Timberwolves draw in the first round.
I should have gone second, because you just completely stole my thunder right there. That's exactly what I was going to bring up, but I'm going to follow that up with a few of a Spurs thoughts on that same vein that you're talking about right now, Tyler. Yeah, I think Spurs fans right now should simply just be happy with the win, but get over it. I mean, like, right now, this Spurs team is not the Rockets. They're not the Celtics. They're not the Raptors, and they're not the Warriors. They don't have a sure foot in the postseason as of yet. There's still so much to be sorted out. And yes, the possibility of this team not making the playoff is still there. So they got to get over it. And I think that's my overall final thought, is move on to the next. Pau Gasol Paul said it best after the Rockets game when he was asked about the win and, you know, beating Houston and, of course, you know, they're looking good of late. I'm going to leave it with this before we put a close. This is straight from Pau Gasol. And here's what he had to say. It doesn't matter if we win today and we lose the next two games, or we beat the Thunder and Houston, and then you go and lose against the Clippers and the Lakers. Might as well lose against the previous two. It's the same deal. Great win. Congrats to the team. Now we have to do it all over again next game. And that's exactly what Spurs fans have to do as well. Well said, Pau Gasol. So that's my final overall thought about the Rockets game. But we want to hear what you have to say. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. And, of course, go to News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone for all, I mean everything under the sun when it comes to your silver and black. We got it covered there. Tyler's helping me out. He's going to have a couple of great articles this week on the silver and black. So make sure to go out to the Spurs Zone on News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Tyler, what are you going to follow up with that?
Just follow me on Twitter at TylerClerkin_5. We can talk about Patty Mills. Me and Joe are ready for any and all comments about our comments earlier. So if you're trying to argue, come out here and follow me on Twitter, and we can have a nice debate about Patty Mills.
Come at me, bro.
A nice debate, yes. Make it nice. And Tyler, do we have to talk about Joe's other Spurs podcast? Do we have to do it?
I mean,
you have to.
I guess so.
I guess. All right, Joe, go ahead. Talk about your podcast.
Yeah, they can follow us at Two Shots, which is spelled out TWOSHOTS podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can also check us out on the World Wide Web at www.twoshotssa.com.
That's right. Now I'm just kidding with right now. Yeah, it's a great podcast. Tyler hops on every once in a while to help out Joe. Go check out Two Shots podcast. It's a good fun podcast you can catch when you're not listening to Locked On Spurs. But for Joe Garcia, and Tyler Clark, and I almost forgot about you, Tyler. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock, all three of us, we're going to put a big old lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.